Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not look for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has sent his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my heavenly Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You are the good shepherd. You are the light of the world. Lord Jesus, continue to feed us, continue to breathe life and light into us, so that we may be Christ bearers to the world. We may be your conduits for healing, your conduits for making you known. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Last week, there was a very short phrase in Ephesians that I overlooked. And I would like to just affirm that for you because it's in our liturgy. You know, it was right at the end of the Ephesians reading. It says, "Now to him who by the power working in within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And for those, for when we ever get to do morning, well, you guys do morning prayer from time to time. And the person leading morning prayer has the option to end it with those words at the very last, dismissal prayer, I guess you could say, is the same thing, only maybe a slightly different translation. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Wow. What a way to be sent off into the world. Perhaps I should use that in my final blessing. So, where does Paul get the audacity to say that benediction, to say that prayer, to the church in Ephesus. He's giving them a powerful word of encouragement to send them forth, to ground them in who they are, and to understand that God is empowering you to do things that are beyond anything you could ask or imagine. It's just mind-blowing, mind-boggling. And today's scripture, I think, hopefully, kind of gets at that. We talked about Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Well, I would like to just tell you a little story first, just to wrap our heads around that whole, that way of thinking that is not the way the world tends to think. Obvious, and I'm going to tell you a little story. In the 1960s, there was a very popular movie, perhaps you remember it, called The Graduate. It was actually a very controversial movie at the time. And the theme song for that movie was Mrs. Robinson. And it was composed by and produced by Simon and Garfunkel. The song starts out, "Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lowly eyes to you. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Jolton Joe has left and gone away." So this was one of the best known songs of the 60s. And I'm sure we still hear it from time to time on the radio. And there was also, and I think there still is, a show on TV called 60 Minutes. It's a news show where they interview people. So in a 60 Minutes interview a few years back, the songwriter Paul Simon mentioned that after the song was released, he received a letter from Joe DiMaggio in which DiMaggio expresses his befuddlement at what in the world that song could mean. DiMaggio wrote, "What do you mean, where have I gone? I haven't gone anywhere," he says. "I'm still around. I'm selling Mr. Coffee machines." Then Mr. Simon smiled wryly at Mike Wallace, who was interviewing him, and remarked, "Obviously, Mr. DiMaggio is not accustomed to thinking of himself as a metaphor." But then, who is? We expect people to denote themselves by saying things like, "I'm a plumber, I'm a stay-at-home dad." But our eyes would widen if someone said, "I'm the oil that lubes my company's machine." Or, in my case, "I'm the vibe that nurtures the prison bureaucracy." I think they'd give me a weird look if I said that. But this is not a typical mode of speaking. Yet, Jesus, with some frequency, refers to himself in a metaphorical mode. "I am," he says. He says, "I am the light of the world that illumines all. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And in today's gospel, I am the bread of life, which comes to me, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And for this, they called him a loony. And this sort of speak got him arrested. And here we call him the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we have sacramentalized those words. We say every Sunday, by him, with him, and in him. We believe in the full presence of Jesus. He's fully present in the bread. He's fully present in the wine or the blood. We choose not, this is the Episcopal Church. We, unlike the Catholics who have a theology called transubstantiation, we simply say it's a holy mystery. Baptism is our rite of passage. Holy water is a reminder of baptism. And in a few minutes, I'm going to share with you how we make holy water. And we remember that we are transformed persons. Transformed into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer C because that Eucharistic prayer tends to focus more on God's work of transformation. And this past week, I had the opportunity to talk with Lori. And Lori and I started looking around the church, looking around and seeing all the wonderful signs and symbols that we have here. We got all these apostles. We have Jesus up there in the window, the scene of his resurrection. And this is where Jesus ascends. That's the ascension window. And over here we have the crucifixion. And we talked a lot about the crucifixion because oftentimes we think the crucifixion is simply Jesus dying for the sins of the world. And that is partly the case. However, if all we did was focus on his crucifixion, we would not get the full picture. Because if you look in Scripture, you will see that only a very small amount is devoted to the crucifixion, whereas a very large amount is devoted to the resurrection. And it is by the power of, you can't have a resurrection without a death, obviously, but ultimately, the writers of the gospel knew that our new life is in his resurrection. And so I would like to talk about these signs and symbols, because God died, yes, for our sins, but it was not a transactional kind of thing. Oh, you know, you confess your sins, and so therefore you're saved, and you're going to go to heaven. God simply did it out of the abundance of his desire to love. And the same outpouring of love was also in these things that Jesus was talking about, with the manna in the wilderness. He said, Moses didn't give you the manna. Our Heavenly Father gave the manna out of his abundant love. And Jesus is saying these things about him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And so on and so forth, because he is that new life that comes to us through the power of the resurrection. The other day, just before we had Eddie's funeral, Father Christopher says to me, I think we should use holy water. I said, oh, that's sure, I'm for that. We didn't have any holy water on hand, so I said, so I quickly put some water in a container and said some prayers, and the prayers I said were not out of the prayer book. I said prayers that connected with the water, or that talked about the theology that enables us to have holy water, which is a sign and symbol of our baptism. And so I reached back, so let me just do it right now, because Father Christopher thought it was pretty cool, and so do I, because it talks about the fact that it goes all the way back to creation. And in fact, some would say the created universe is our first Bible, in a sense. And what happened in the beginning? In the beginning, there was water, and God's Spirit moved in the beginning over the water. And so we give you thanks, Lord, for that. And when the Hebrew children were in captivity, you delivered them from slavery, and you brought them and delivered them through water. Your son Jesus emerged from baptism and was anointed as the Messiah and was revealed as the Messiah through water of baptism. We too have been delivered from sin and death and have been risen to new life through your death and resurrection through water. And so, Lord, sanctify this water as a sign and symbol of the fact that we are transformed people, transformed into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, enabling us to act with boldness, enabling us to step out in faith without, and you know, Jesus went to the cross as an outpouring of love, but also, as people would say, he defeated the devil as well. And so as much as people may have laughed and ridiculed him, we are covered with the armor of God to go forth and cast out anything that may be not of God. We are called to go to places that may seem foreboding and cast out the things that are not of God and breathe new life into those places. It was no accident that Jesus took his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi and got in their face and said, "Who do you say that I am?" Where was Caesarea Philippi? It was outside of the land of Israel. It was in a place where they were worshiping pagan gods. Well, guess what? Not much has changed. There's all kinds of pagan worship. And so we too, just as Jesus confronted the disciples in a place where there was confusion and worshiping things that were just not of God. And so we too are called to go forth and maybe with a tote bag and say to people, "Who is Jesus? Who do you say that he is?" And guess what? People will begin to think and say, "Jesus is the living God." And we too can affirm those folks and say, "Blessed are you, for you too are a child of God." And in so doing, we raise up our friends and neighbors, inspiring them to do infinitely more than they could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith.